Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
So I'm sure there are a lot of people who need a blood donation. Dr. Jeffrey Copen is Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital. He joins us now on the line. Dr. Copen, thank you for joining us today. Oh, hang on. There we go. Can you hear me?
Oh.
There we go.
Yeah, I can.
Perfect.
Yeah. And now good afternoon, Elise. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. It's nice to have you with us today. So we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the news regarding COVID. There's a bunch of new news out, including that there are some severe symptoms that are being seen with younger adults. I want to ask you about that. But maybe let's just start with the idea that there are five states accounting for 44% of the new COVID cases: New York, Miami, Florida, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. Chicago and Illinois are not among the top of the list right now. Are we doing something right?
I'd like to believe we are. wouldn't it be great to believe that our fellow Illinoisans are well-behaved when it comes to COVID? It's so difficult to understand what goes on in different states. Like when we look at New York and New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Michigan, which are at the top of the list, these were states that had very strict rules when it came to COVID, right? They had strict lockdowns that went on for a long time. So how that perhaps is related to what's going on right now with loosening of COVID-related rules, you know, we really don't know yet, Elise. This is something that we're going to study for a long time. And I don't want to be so presumptuous as to say I really understand it right now.
I'm not sure anybody does, because, of course, you had New York with very strict rules and Florida with basically no rules. And, you know, I'm sure like you, we all saw people in Florida gallivanting on the beaches. And I thought, I'd like to be there. But, you know, then again, I don't want to get sick. But some of the other things that are popping up in the news, and again, to your point, we're going to be studying this for a while. There was a study that came out, Reuters reported on it, that a third of COVID sufferers are suffering neurological or mental disorders. And again, you know, that young people are seeing more severe COVID symptoms. And then I saw some report that said some women are reporting that after they've had a COVID shot, a vaccine, their periods are all different. What do we make of all of these things?
Yeah, so the first thing is, let's all take a deep breath. This is all preliminary reporting. We really don't know. So, for example, I looked up the article that Reuters quoted about a third of people having psychiatric and neurologic complications. And quite frankly, you know, at Northwestern Medicine, we've taken care of thousands of people with COVID. And sure, we're seeing people who have, you know, the long haulers. We're seeing people who have other kinds of complications, but that surprised me. One third is a lot of people. Mm. Well, a lot of that is anxiety. A lot of it is depression. We don't know yet how much of that is directly attributable to the virus and the body's response to the virus. We just don't know. So I suspect that when we are able to have a little more time to understand what's going on, we can go through these data in a more specific way, we'll see the numbers really aren't that high. But there's no question that the virus is having an impact on people. The prolonged nature of the pandemic, at least like you were talking about before the break, is, mm-hmm. You know, is really having an impact on people. And I just don't think we know enough yet to be able to say what exactly is what. In terms of women's periods being affected, we don't know yet what that might be about. I suspect that it might turn out to be simply the stress that's involved for some women in getting vaccinated. I have yet to see a statement that would help us from, for example, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology that look into these things really closely. So these are all evolving. But the one thing I want to stress to our listeners today is there are hundreds of millions of people now who have been vaccinated around the world, and people are doing great, and the The side effects of the vaccination is very slight for the most part. Yeah, there's rare complications, but I want people to realize how safe these vaccines are, and they're life-saving. Nobody should not get vaccinated because of these reports.
So that's really reassuring and so interesting, because I wanted to ask you about the vaccine. So we are seeing it. I'm already hearing anecdotally from people, oh, I'm getting Pfizer and I'm so glad because it has less side effects. And then from Moderna, oh, yeah, but Moderna is now looks like it's going to be good against some of the new variants that are popping up. You know, it just feels like, you know, every arm should have a vaccine in it as quickly as possible, and then we can figure out what's what. But is that true? Are there those kinds of differences between the two? Should we try to be picking what vaccine we get, or really doesn't it matter?
I don't believe it matters. There are three approved vaccines in the United States. We all know this, the Pfizer, the Moderna, and the Johnson & Johnson. People should get whatever they can get. We know that there's great immunologic response to give immunity. People do great. The most important thing is people don't get severely ill and die when they're vaccinated. How great is that? I mean, that right. seems to be close to 100% at least. Let's think about that. Right? That's the most important thing. So get the vaccine you can get. The two doses with the Pfizer and Moderna, those things work great. Dr. Fauci keeps talking about how that second dose, this creates a fantastic antibody response, and it's true. And the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, it's a one-shot vaccine, and we know that the immunologic response is fantastic to that one, too. So we have three really good vaccines, and people should not hesitate getting any one of them.
Do you think that there's any, I'm just struck by the whole fact that we didn't even have a flu season this year, at least nothing that made the news. And this is the first, I get a flu shot every year, and I can honestly say it's the first year I haven't had the flu. But do you think that the vaccines will have any spillover effect for the flu, since they're both, if I'm wrong about this, please tell me, but aren't they both a coronavirus?
No. So influenza is a different virus. They're both respiratory viruses, but they're different. So coronavirus is different than influenza. It's fascinating, though, isn't it? We haven't had any flu. I mean, up here in Lake Forest, our laboratory, we have not had a single confirmed case of influenza yet. The city of Chicago has just had a handful in the entire city. I mean, it's unbelievable. Exactly why that is, I don't know. You know, certainly wearing masks and so being socially distant, most of the kids being out of school, all those things would contribute. But it is one of the most amazing manifestations of the pandemic that we haven't seen any influenza. Now, having said that, when we get into next fall and winter, everybody's got to get their influenza shot again, because it's probably going to be back, probably with a vengeance next year. And the influenza shots really do help. Everyone's going to have to make sure that they go get it.
All right. Dr. Copeland, we have to take a short break, but can you stick around so that we can? I've got a few more questions for you, and there are a few more myths for you to debunk. Would you stick around for a few more minutes?
I'm happy to wait. Sure.
Excellent. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back with Dr. Copeland in just a minute on the Anna DeVellante Show on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. We're talking to Dr. Jeffrey Copeland. He is the Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital. Dr. Copeland, we have a question from somebody in the 847 area code. What vaccine is best for a child with a peanut allergy and asthma? I've read Pfizer may not be the one to try for these patients. I've heard that from other people who have very severe allergies, that they're concerned about one or the other. In fact, one woman I know who has some severe, she's got a blood disorder. They've told her to have the J&J shot. Is it because of how these shots are put together?
All right, so first of all, when it comes to kids, we're not vaccinating anybody younger than 16 yet. We don't have the authorization from FDA. There's data that's starting to make its way to FDA to look at kids down to 12. So anybody under the age of 16, we're not vaccinating yet. Hopefully over the next couple of months, we'll be able to start getting kids done to the age of 12. And there's ongoing studies now looking at kids all the way down to 6 months of age. But that's wow. that's going to be months away.
And we did see
first thing with kids.
There are, but with kids, we did see a story, at least I saw a story this past week, where a mother who had the virus, or maybe she had just been vaccinated, was able to pass antibodies to her baby when it was born.
Yeah, so we know, the studies have been done, that moms in pregnant women through the placenta are able to provide antibody, assuming the moms have the antibody, to their babies. Then lactating moms are able to give antibody through the breast milk to their babies. Isn't that great, Elise? I mean, that's really exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, and you know, I know that pregnant women, just to bring this up for a second, are often concerned about the safety of vaccination, COVID vaccination when pregnant, and it's definitely something that a pregnant woman should discuss with her obstetrician or midwife. The recommendation is, though, to get vaccinated. And I feel strongly about that. I think that's the correct recommendation. And part of the reason is we give immunity to the mom. Pregnant women who get COVID can get very, very ill. We've had deaths of pregnant women. We don't want that to happen, and the vaccine would be protective. And then on top of that, the mom is giving antibody to the baby in utero, and also lactating by giving breast milk, there's more antibody. So there's so many good reasons then for a pregnant woman to get vaccinated.
So what about for a 16 plus child or young adult in their early 20s who has some sort of allergy? How does that shake out?
So it depends what the allergy is. Peanut allergy should not be an issue. It's only if somebody's allergic to one of the ingredients that's used in the manufacture of the vaccine. And there really aren't a lot of things that people are allergic to. But I would say if somebody is very sensitive and has allergies that can make them sick, before getting vaccinated, it's a good idea to talk to your doctor. Just make sure that there isn't allergy that you might have that you're not sure about that would make the vaccine something to be concerned about. But food allergies are not something that we need to worry about when it comes to vaccinations.
So it's something in the manufacturing of maybe the liquid that the vaccine is being carried in that might be something you were allergic to or would trigger something.
That's right. That's right. But those allergies, thankfully, are very, very rare. And typically people who have those kinds of allergies know about it. And again, I would say if somebody knows that he or she has significant allergies, that you know, they get exposed to something, they get very, very ill, it's absolutely advisable to speak to one's physician before having the vaccine.
And then I suppose if you do have one of those rare allergies, your doctor can start to work to figure out where you have to go to get the specific vaccine that you would need, right? Hospitals, I don't know, what are you doing over at Lake Forest? You know, is there one, or are you doing all three?
Well, like, for example, there are people who are allergic. They have known allergies to one of the substances in the mRNA vaccines. So they couldn't, that means you can't get Moderna or Pfizer, but they can get Johnson & Johnson. Everybody who gets vaccinated, regardless of allergy, is asked to wait 15 minutes after the vaccination. So in all of our vaccination centers, we have a waiting area. Everyone who's already had the vaccine knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And we just want to make sure that, right? Yep. We just want you to sit there, make sure you don't have an immediate reaction. People who have allergic reactions, we ask to wait longer, 30 minutes, sometimes even a little bit longer. Thankfully, we've had next to no bad reactions, but every vaccine center has trained medical staff available with the right kind of equipment should somebody have a really bad allergic reaction. But it's so rare, at least, thankfully, people are tolerating the vaccines beautifully.
which is so great. One question from 773. My wife is allergic to contrast dye. I'm told this is an ingredient. Is that true?
No. So the contrast dye is not a problem with vaccine. The contrast dye reaction is actually quite interesting. We could have a whole discussion about that, but that in no way should keep somebody from getting vaccinated.
Ah, okay. And then another question from 815, is Johnson & Johnson considered a full vaccine, even though it's one and not two? And is it okay for people who are heavy?
So yeah, it's a very effective vaccine. When it came out, it's only one injection. I knew people would think, well, it's only one injection. It's probably only half as good as the other one, right? Where you have to get two. It's the way that vaccine was developed, the science behind it is just so elegant. People have a great response to one vaccine, and there's no need to get a second one. It's just a great thing, and I'm so happy that we have that available, because there's certain populations that will be hard to get the second injection to. So we're trying to steer the Johnson & Johnson to those vaccinations. And I'm unaware of any difficulty in somebody who's overweight. It should be as effective in somebody who's overweight, too.
So Jeannie is on the line, and she said that she got a cortisone shot yesterday and is getting her second Moderna shot tomorrow. Is that okay? Because they don't want to, she's a little bit worried that they're going to conflict with each other. And we are warned in, you know, I went when I had my shot, it said don't get any other vaccinations within 14 days before or after. So is her cortisone shot a cause for concern?
Yeah, so a cortisone shot actually would be a cause for concern, but for a different reason. Cortisone shot is not a vaccination. It's a medication. It'd be important for Jeannie to speak to whoever it was who gave the cortisone, depending what the dose was. It would be a good idea to wait. It's possible for the cortisone to blunt the immunological effect of the vaccine, and we wouldn't want that to happen. So Jeannie definitely should speak with whomever it was who provided that cortisone injection.
That's really good to know. And of course, you know, people who have diabetes, cortisone shots, I know my mother, when she gets one, her sugars go through the roof. Any special words of warning for people with diabetes who are getting these shots?
Get the shot if you have diabetes.
Right.
Diabetics who get coronavirus, who get COVID, get sicker than non-diabetics. So all you diabetics out there who, for whatever reason, have chosen not to be vaccinated yet, please get yourself vaccinated. It's really important. We don't want you to be infected by this virus.
Dr. Jeffrey Copen is Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital. Thank you so much. It's always such a pleasure to have you on the air with us.
My pleasure, Elise. Everybody take good care. Remember, wear your masks when you're out. Try to keep your social distance. And please, please, everybody, get vaccinated.